Welcome to Gruesome, your horrific true crime podcast. Lone Star Cowboy Connie is going to tell us about
Heather Walker. And I realized I didn't tell you that because we were chatting about other things.
I know. I didn't realize until just that second. So Heather Walker is who she's going to tell us about.
Yeah. Welcome back, guys. Took a little hiatus because I had no voice. My kids gave me the ick. And I know how much you guys love my frog voice when I get it.
You sound great, though.
I do now.
You don't sound like you have a frog voice at all.
No, it's much, much better. I'm still stuffy. Like, I still feel like I'm drinking snot, but it's definitely not what it was. Ew, I know. Gross. It's so gross. These school germs are no joke, man. It kicked my ass. Ugh. I just got the ick just thinking about it.
Yeah.
I was trying to forget it. I also had, like, the fun. I was looking, like, you know how we get, like, our weekly, like, chart stuff and, like, what's going on? And, like, I clicked on it. And it had, like, the review was, like, talking about me having a frog in my throat. And then it was, like, I bet she can do a mean motorcycle impression. And I was, like, I should be offended by this, but I'm not.
That's hilarious. You should start just doing impressions. You know what I think of? That little kid in
Little Rascals.
Yeah. So I whipped out my lizard.
Yeah, that's how I sound.
And I think of
it's like as soon as I get a post-nasal drip, I know the laryngitis is coming to like where I'm not going to be able to talk. And I'm like, here we go. Every fucking time.
Well, you're back now, baby.
I'm back.
So tell us
better
more
than ever.
Heather Walker.
All right. We're going to keep it local. A Dayton case. This was a case that we had gotten an email about, like, I think last year. And I've had it on the list to cover. And we're going to dive into it. Heather Walker was born on Thanksgiving Day in 1989 to Tammy and Robert Walker in Dayton, Ohio. Heather spent her entire life on the east side of Dayton. And Dayton has been in the news more often as a place with violent crime on the rise. There's Interstate 75 that intersects with Interstate 70, making it kind of a hub for trafficking, drugs. There's been an increase in murders, drug-related crimes. And I live very close to Dayton, as I've said before, and I've spent a lot of time in the area in between, like, where University of Dayton is, like, down in that area. There's the Oregon District. Several years ago, they had, a few years ago, they had the mass shooting down there at a nightclub. But the people in downtown Dayton, like, I love them. Like, it's a great area, but it's not a safe area, you know? Like, it's just, I mean, it is what it is. It's great. I love the people, but it's just, unfortunately, like, not a safe area. Heather Walker lived with her parents, her older brother, Robert Walker Jr., and her 2-year-old son, Devin. Heather had attended Riskin and Wilbur Wright schools, but she hadn't finished yet. It is not uncommon in that area. I read that there's only about a 60% rate of graduation for the high schools in downtown Dayton.
Oh, wow. 60%?
60%.
It's crazy.
Heather was described as a likable girl with a lot of friends. She was not what we would consider preppy, popular. Like, she just kind of stuck to, like, her small little group. Her mom said that she was very passionate about doing hair. She had dreams of being a hairstylist. Before, like, people would go out and stuff, they would come over and they would pay her to do their hair. Now, I want to get into a few things about Heather's past, and I want to make it clear that this is not victim shaming. It is simply just giving background that's going to be important later on.
Okay.
Heather had went through a bit of a rough time over the last few years. Once she got pregnant, she ran away quite frequently.
How old was she when she got pregnant?
16.
Okay.
Her parents had reported her missing 6 times in the last couple years. The last time that she had been reported missing, she came home and like left 10 minutes later. As soon as like the police left, she left.
Oof, that's rough.
She, like I said, she was frequently reported as being a runaway. She had been in trouble for shoplifting and other misdemeanors. But everything I read from her parents and close friends said that over that last few months, she was really trying to like just do better for herself and for her son. In January of 2008, Heather underwent surgery for a cervical issue and was prescribed Vicodin for the pain. She was reiterate. She was trying to be a better person for her son. She was being more present. She hadn't like disappeared like she was. She did have a pretty dicey relationship with her ex, and her son Devin was with her and her parents on a permanent basis. It is not easy being a parent at 21, 30, 40, 50, 60, and it's definitely not easy being a parent at 16.
No, absolutely not. I can't imagine.
On February 6th, 2008, Heather left Devin with her parents to head to a party to celebrate her older brother's birthday. The party was being hosted at one of their friends' houses. His actual birthday was on February 9th, which is like when I first started reading
this. It's your birthday. Yeah.
Heather, when she left, she had finally started feeling better from her surgery, but she took with her 5 Vicodin in case any of the, she said that in case any of the pain became too much, she wanted to be able to make her, you know, like help with that.
Take the edge off.
Yeah. Heather's brother and friends report that Heather left the party around 11 o'clock. She was last seen at a corner market called Sam's Market after that. However, Heather never made it home. By Saturday morning, with Heather still not returning home, her family started to have like a deep concern that something had happened to her. Tammy and Robert started to reach out to friends, family in an attempt to locate her, but no one had any information about where she was. It was the same story. Well, we saw her leave the party last night about 11 o'clock. No one has seen or heard from her. Tammy reported Heather is a missing person, but the initial police response was lukewarm at best. Her parents insisted something is wrong. I understand she has been a runaway before. This is not the case. She left her cell phone at home, her wallet at home. And normally her parents said, even if she did disappear, she would call her parents and let them know that she was okay. But this time, nothing. So the police issued the standard 72-hour alert for Heather and gave the status as a missing, quote, endangered adult. But once this time period elapsed, the police ceased active efforts to find her and the search for the missing teen was discontinued. And it
how soon after was that?
72 hours.
Okay.
It became apparent that the police were not investing any resources into finding Heather. And the reason they gave was because she was a legal adult at 18. And she had the history of running away. She had the history of disappearances. They just assumed she had just disappeared again. And her parents were like, look, we understand she is 18, but some of her tendencies tend to be more childlike. Please look for our daughter. And the police would later admit that after the initial report of her disappearance and when the 72 hours passed, they did not look for Heather again.
Because
they just assumed she had disappeared. They just assumed she had just ran off. And this is even with Tammy calling constantly, letting them know that something was wrong and that there was no way she would have run away. Because like I said, she would at least call. She would have needed her cell phone, her wallet, you know? She had nothing with her.
Something.
And this is when I hate covering cases like this because it infuriates me that no one was looking for this girl outside of her friends and family. Her friends and family printed like flyers. They hung them up. They passed them out. But unfortunately, their efforts yielded no results. 11 weeks after Heather went missing, three people were walking down an alley about a block off of East 3rd Street. And if you're from Dayton, you know East 3rd Street. It's kind of like the main road that runs through. As they're walking, they look over and see a pair of shoes hanging out of one of the big city-issued trash bins. So one of them was like, look, those are shoes. They look new. They're in the trash. We're going to take them. So they cross the alley to the edge of the abandoned building where the trash can was sitting. Reaching for the shoes, they were immediately aware that they had made a horrific discovery. The shoes were still connected to a young woman's feet.
Oof.
The body in the trash bin would be identified by her parents as Heather Walker. She had been stuffed into the trash bin head first, leaving just her feet exposed. The exact duration of Heather Walker's death before her body was dumped in the alley remains unclear. According to the coroner, she had been deceased, as they said, quote, for a while. Despite a thorough examination, there were no apparent signs of head trauma, blunt force trauma, gunshot wounds, stab wounds, or asphyxiation. There were no discernible physical injuries that could account for her death. There was no evidence at all. Her dad, Robert Walker, in an interview with the Dayton Daily News, speculated that his daughter might have succumbed to a drug overdose, but the coroner, Ken Betts, emphasized that they couldn't conclusively determine how and when Heather Walker died. Her death was officially categorized as a homicide with unknown cases, and the theory of a drug overdose was eventually ruled out. Authorities.
Well, no, how are you going to have a drug overdose and then end up
exactly? You don't put yourself into a trash can.
No.
And authorities believed that Heather had not been in the garbage for the entire 11 weeks that she had been missing, because this particular winter was very mild and it would have led to more advanced decomposition if she had been out there. And this is like an area that's frequented by people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They would.
Like someone would have noticed.
Or smelled it, you know? Like,
oh, yeah. Rough.
Tammy Walker believes, and pretty much everyone associated with this case believes, that whoever was responsible for Heather's death had held on to her body until shortly before it was discarded in the alley.
Ew.
She said, so she insisted on, like, when they pulled them in, she insisted on going back with her husband to identify, like, to look at Heather's remains. And she said that she recalled seeing reddish brown paint on Heather's remains. My thought is it could
paint.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, reddish brown paint doesn't seem likely in this scenario.
The items retrieved from Heather's body included rings, eyeliner. Those were all returned to Tammy, but Heather's Vicodin vial was gone and her ID card was missing. During the 2.5 months of Heather Walker's disappearance, the police conducted pretty much no investigation, and it appeared that they had little interest in the case. Sergeant Chris Williams, who also spoke to the Dayton Daily News after Heather's remains were found, said, "Many adults go missing through the year. Very few turn out to be victims of foul play. One likely reason..."
Okay.
Exactly. I just don't...
No, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, yeah, lots of people go missing. It's not always this. I'm like, yeah, but this one was upside down in a trash can, and I think it... Maybe you guys could have looked a little harder.
And what's crazy is they kept citing... Like, I can't imagine how it was for her parents and friends and family seeing the articles that had been written about her, because they were all listed as like troubled teen, you know, like,
yeah, they were making it seem like they were
that was victim shaming.
Yeah.
Detectives questioned dozens of people, including the friend that Heather was with the last night she was seen, but no leads. They called in a man named Wilbert Gibson for an interview. He was heard discussing the case with someone and like had some details. He was the person that, okay, so when the three people, one of them was a girl, when they found her, the shoes, and they found Heather's body, mm-hmm. they took off running, like fucking freaked out, like normal, a normal response. Yeah. He's the
no response to seeing a dead body.
He was walking to work when the lady came out screaming, telling him what they found.
Oh, wow.
But he had no connection to it. I anticipate because he saw, like he went back with them and saw her body. They even questioned her parents. Someone had called in and said that Tammy was involved, that Tammy was in on the murder. So she had to be questioned. It is believed, the Walkers believe that more than one person was involved just because of the state that her body was in. She said that like it had to have been a cold-hearted monster, which I agree. I have a couple of theories that we'll talk about at the end. Okay. Detective Patricia Tackett agrees with that and says that there are people who are still around who know what happened to Heather Walker, even though there was initial speculation that she had died of a drug overdose, the autopsy on her badly decomposed body proved otherwise. There is probably more than one person that knows, and I believe that there are people that have been talking about it and have information to talk about, like have information to give about this.
Did they say anything like other than just badly?
No, they never could find a cause of death. It has never been released.
Do you feel like that's something they're just holding in the hopes that one day someone reveals?
I don't know, because her parents have been very free with talking to the press.
Okay.
Unless they didn't even tell her that, which could have been too. We see that. That's not uncommon.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. They brought in, like, Heather's dad was investigating the area where her body was found. He went door to door speaking to residents just because he felt like the police weren't doing anything. And it's been almost 15 years and her murder still remains unsolved, leaving her family and friends having no closure, no justice. Her son's now a teenager. He had to grow up without his mom. Her mom said that after she first passed away and like after she first was murdered, not passed away, after she first was murdered, Devin would go to the door like waiting for her to come home and like was very upset. And
well, yeah.
It's just, I wanted to talk about this case because this is, it was recently National Overdose, like, you know, Drug Abuse Month or Awareness Month. And it really got me thinking about people who are.
Slip through the cracks.
Slip through the cracks. That's like that's the most polite way to say it.
Well, yeah, no. People who appear troubled or they have issues with addiction and they just get forgotten,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not fair.
It's not. Like we see it with, you know, people of lower socioeconomic statuses, sex workers, like you said, addicts. Like it's hard when, especially when they're like sex workers or addicts and their family have that gut instinct. Like they know that something is wrong. They know that
mm-hmm.
more yeah. needs to be done. And it's, you know, it's just like,
and they most often don't have the resources to be able to figure out what's going on. You know, they are talking to the only people that they've ever been told will help them, and then they don't help them.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well, you know, they high-risk lifestyle. They have often disappeared. They've done this. They've done that.
People disappear all the time. Nope. It's almost never foul play.
Yeah, Dayton. That's why I think you're like number 5 or 10. Like, you're up there. for like most murders per capita in the United States. But you're right. It is never, almost never. There are so many cases like this, like we could. And then, so my thought is she encountered someone on that walk home, because it is not a great area. Maybe someone encountered her, like, I don't know. She had the Vicodin on her. Maybe she was with someone who, you know, wanted to rob her or something. Or even, I'm assuming since they ruled out her overdose, because like when I first was reading it, before I saw that they had ruled it out, like the headline at first, I was like, oh, my thought would be she overdosed and someone panicked and, you know, disposed of her body. But for it to be 11 weeks later, there's no fucking way.
No, that's, yeah, they're not just going to hang on to her, you know?
No, because there is, her dad talked to, there's like an abandoned building close to there, like where she was found. Mm-hmm. It was like across the street or something, or across the alley. Her dad went and talked to the people who mowed it. And they were like, that trash can was not there. And you're going to notice a trash can with shoes hanging out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you aren't, it's just so out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. You know, you walk by a trash can. If anything is sticking out of a trash can, I'm like, what's that?
I know.
Like if it's shoes, I'm definitely going to be like, what's that?
Uh-huh. I mean, I do that driving down the street now and I see stuff on the side of the road, like in my neighborhood. I'm like, ooh, what are we getting rid of, Jan? What do you got there? And if I saw a nice pair of shoes hanging out of a trash can, I'd be like, score. Those are mine. I'll take those. Thank you. And I would just think if she had planned to disappear, she would have taken her phone. You know?
Yeah. What year was this again? Can you tell me?
2008.
Okay. When you said 15 years, I was like, was this 07 or 08? Yeah. Oof. It's just like, it's a little too close for comfort. Because anytime we do a case where like they are the same age as me or yes.
She was, we were 18 when she was 18.
I know. She said she was born in 89 at the beginning. And I was like, ugh, that's when I was born. No, I hate it when we do these.
And it's, I mean, no, we weren't, you know, like disappearing for weeks on end. But we made pretty reckless decisions back then.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Lots of people make reckless decisions. And yes, maybe they don't always end the way that Heather's case ends. But that's not any less excuse for someone to not, like, investigate it thoroughly.
And it
makes me mad. It
makes me so mad. Like, anytime I have been researching, like, the, like, missing Indigenous women of Canada for years. Like, I have sat down more times than I could count to write episodes on it. And it seriously.
Yeah, we get requests for it all the time.
Oh my God. It makes me sick to my stomach. Like, not even from the brutality, but just the sheer fact that all of these women are going missing. And it's just like, oh.
And the amount. The amount of them. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I know. When we get requests for cases like that, specifically that one, you start it and it's so overwhelming. You don't know how to like appropriately cover it and work it into an episode or even like, where do you start and where, and it's not ending. That's what's frustrating
cover it in the sense. Like I did the human trafficking case where it just like shed light on
examples of. Yeah, that would be good. I think it is an important one we should cover.
I wanted to, obviously when this episode was supposed to come out, it was right after like the overdose abuse week. And I just want, if you have family members who are addicts, if you have previously been an addict, if you're currently an addict, that doesn't make your life or their life less than. Like, that doesn't give someone a free pass to kill your family members. It doesn't, even if she did overdose, it doesn't give a free pass to not investigate it, to not, like, try to locate her. Like, it's, which obviously I know she did it. I'm just saying, like, in the grand scheme, like, if it is an overdose, it doesn't make it any, and I hate that, like, if you have used drugs at all, or if you have had a troubled past, if you've gotten into a little bit of trouble, they're like, must have been drug related, must have been this,
or must have been lifestyle. Yeah. Just a person's past doesn't indicate their future, you know, like,
no.
And I understand that a lot of people don't ever make it to the other side, but there are a lot that do.
Oh, yeah. I have a cousin who battled the hell out of addiction. And there were times when I was like, I give up. Like, there's nothing I can do now. Like, she is.
And there's, I mean, there's not really. Like, they have to do it.
No. And now I look at her and it's like such an inspiration, because addiction is a disease. It's tough. Like, it's, and the whole thing kind of like gave me, like, made me upset about it. Cause like you said, one, she's our age. She would have been our age.
Yeah.
And like knowing she had a kid, and like, it is like, if she started disappearing after she became pregnant and like after she had the baby, it is hard. Like, it is so hard being a parent. And postpartum depression is real. Like, postpartum, like, psychosis is real. Like, all of this stuff, to where you're just like, you have to disassociate and you can't do it. And it's, I cannot imagine being a teenager and having to experience that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Especially as a teenager without help from the other parent.
Well, I hope that one day her family gets the answers that they want and deserve.
Yeah, there are times like when, I know it's not as long of a case, but I like talking about it just to like generate some buzz about it, get people talking, get people looking. Maybe it'll jog the memory of someone, or someone will know someone who knows someone, type thing.
So, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah. Woof. 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 That's a woof.
What a bummer. It is.
They all are bummers. When you posted on our Patreon, you were like, what's, you know, your like favorite case we've covered? Mm-hmm. And people started talking about them. I forgot how many horrific cases, because we've been doing it for so long now. I forget. Like,
it makes me sad, kind of, that I forget some of them. And it's not that I forget them. Once I am reminded of them, it's just like, you write and research all of these things, and then you talk about it, and you kind of move on to the next one, and you don't, you know, there's not that time to go back and be like, oh yeah. It's not until someone says like, oh, in this episode this happened, and I'm like, oh yeah.
Forgot about that one. Yeah. Dude, because we've been, next month is 3 years.
I know. Halloween.
Dude.
Halloween is year 3.
I have a feeling year 3 will be our best year yet.
I hope so. I think so. I think you're on to something. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be Maybe we're foreshadowing.
We're foreshadowing.
Or manifesting. Maybe both.
Maybe a little bit of everything.
Dude, all I know, and if you can relate, holla if you can hear me, because I can tell you one thing. Year 3 can't be any fucking worse than the year we just experienced, man.
Dude.
Knock on wood, but damn. That was a rough one. 2023 has kicked my ass in a way my ass has not been kicked in years.
Dude, you know what sucks is, like, at the beginning of this year, we were so hyped. We were like, this is going to be it. Uh-huh. This is our year. 2023, baby. And literally, it has just been like blow after blow.
Every time something happens to either of us, we're like, dude, it's only up from here. And then life is like, bitch.
Rock bottom became the foundation that's for my life.
That's like when everyone's like, they're not as consistent. I'm like, dude, I could give you a fucking book about everything that's going on. Would you like me to trauma dump on you everything that's happening in our lives right now? Because it's fucking
They do. Chaos. They want the trauma dump. That's true. We were consistent for a very long time, but this last year we have not happen.
I would say that the last year, I would say the last 6 months, and it has been, that is why we're working on it. There are some things that are out of our control at the moment.
Yeah,
but that's true. That's why I say this coming up year, baby.
Dude, I got stung by a bee on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And it still itches and hurts.
Dude, if I got stung by a bee, I'm dying.
I hadn't been stung by a bee since I was a kid. And I got stung by a bee. It was it was in the ground.
Oof.
I was like walking through a little like woody patch.
Oh, you're walking with your country paws on, weren't you?
My what?
You know, like country paws, like when you're out there in the, you're like city paws.
Yeah.
Like, where you have your shoes on and like country balls and
No, I was not dressed appropriately. It went through my sock. I had like Vans and my little crew socks on because I always wear cool socks. And I walked and I just stepped it. But I was like, yeah, I was kind of like in the woods. And I stepped in this just one spot and I was like, oh, ow, I think I just got stung by a bee. And then I looked down and they were just like swarming. And I was like, ah, get out of here. And I ran.
It's like from My Girl. You can't see without his glasses.
Yes, he can't see without his glasses. That's yes, I said exactly that too. I was just like, My Girl, no.
I got stung by a bee. I was probably in second or third grade. I got stung in the hand. And my hand.
I got stung in the hand too.
My hand swelled up like fat bastard. Like.
Yeah. Yes. I had like closed my hand on it or something and the stinger was in there. And then my hand got huge, like enormous.
Dude, I have an EpiPen for my bee stings. Cause like when I did my allergy test, like the clean girl that I am, bee stings were like. Death. Not really, but it was like, dude, this could fuck you up.
Fucking bee sting.
Here's an EpiPen.
Fuck you up. It's good to be safe and have one. I am not allergic to bees. I mean, I might be a little allergic to them because this shit still itches. But
dude, I had to go to the doctor. I was like struggling to breathe and everything. It was like a whole thing, man.
Oof. That sucks.
My favorite thing is like, I always forget to carry it because ADHD life, and we'll be places and I'm like, oh my God, look at all those bees. And my husband's like, do you have your EpiPen? And I'm like, nah, son, that ain't how I roll. Like, I'm just going to, he's like, we're like 2 hours from home. But you better get my ass to the hospital if I get stuck.
Call 911. Hopefully we make it.
Sometimes I hope I don't though. Just kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. That's a joke.
Self-deprecating joke.
Yeah, sorry guys.
Oof. You know, his feelings are going to be hurt about it. It's fine.
I know.
Let them.
They're going to be, you know, sometimes I say things just to like try to take the edge off and I'm like, I'm going to get roasted for that.
That's okay. You know what? The people who matter don't mind and the people who mind don't matter.
Before we move on to anything else, I need to hear about your brother's cake tree.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll tell the story because I actually told him I would tell the story. All right. So I went and saw the band Cake. One, I bought these tickets like the second they went on sale. I pre-registered, I got on the pre-sale, and I bought them. And I think I must have had a couple of drinks because I did not realize that I had bought myself two pit tickets, like for the very front. I did not know until I was pretty much going to the show.
Yeah, because you're a lawn girl.
I am. Like, I'm just there for the
experience. I don't like to be touched, and it's all sweaty up there usually. That's why I was happy you got good weather.
I'll comment on the Cake show in that regard in just a second. But yeah, I was just like, eh, whatever. And so I picked up my tickets and I saw my seat and I was like, screenshotted it and I sent it to my brother. I was like, dude, I think we have pit tickets because I brought my brother because my brother and I both really like the band Cake. And he was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. So we get to the show and we're in the pit and one, pretty much exclusively old white guys.
Oh, hell yeah.
In the crowd. And no one is touching anyone else in the pit. Like, everyone has a comfortable distance.
I love that.
Away from each other.
I love that so much.
And, like, they're vibing. They're watching the show. They're having a good time. But it does not look like it. Like, it is, this is the quietest pit I have ever seen in my entire life. I was just like, and that's not me. Like, I'm loud and I woohoo and I dance and I'm like, yeah, let's go. So it was, that was funny. But apparently at cake shows, they give away a tree, right?
I don't know.
So they're like, they do. The deal is they give away the tree. And you have to, if you get the tree, you have to plant it in the ground and you have to send a picture and you have to update the band every couple of years with how the tree is doing. Like, you become the guardian of this tree.
Yeah,
right?
You become the Lorax. I am you the Lorax. You become, I speak for the trees.
You become Cake's Lorax. So, and they have them all over the world. And they said, it's not always the same tree, but at this show in Indianapolis, they said, like, all you have to do if you feel like you can fulfill these requirements, you just have to tell us what kind of tree it is. And, like, several people answered. Like, everyone put up their hands like they were in school at a concert, and it was quiet. They were, like, politely waiting to answer. And he was, like, picking people out of the crowd, and they all, none of them got it right. And then my brother, like, put up his hand, and I, like, looked at him. And you know, like, when you're at a fair, and you see, like, the goldfish game, and your kid wants to play it, and you're like, I'm bringing home a fucking goldfish mm-hmm. tonight. That is the feeling that I got in my gut when he put his hand up, like, I'm about to fucking carry this tree out of here. And he put his hand up, and he yelled, it's a serviceberry tree. I don't even know there was a thing called a service pantry. And so he was like, holy shit, it is a service berry tree. Come on up here, sir.
How did he know?
He said middle school tree project.
Stop it. If you know her brother, that makes the story that much better. And that's why I'm enjoying it so much.
I'm not sure. I think, I don't know. But he knew that it was a serviceberry tree, and apparently you can make pies out of serviceberries as well. But they are poisonous to dogs, which he also was aware of, apparently. And so he disappears, and I'm just, like, standing there, like, so stoked, and everyone around us is, like, hyped, and I'm like, that's my brother! Also, I have to be very clear when I go to shows with my brother that that is my brother, because people always think we're a couple, because we are so close in age. And so I'm like, that was my brother! He's got a place for it! He's trying to buy a house right now! And I was, like, telling everyone around me all this. And so he said that he had to run over to the backstage door, and then he just had to follow this guy, and they sprinted to the stage. He said, I've never run so fast in my life. And then the second he stepped out, he looked out and just saw like 6,000 people, and he got incredibly nervous.
Aww.
So he, you can see in the video I took, he's just like barely moving.
Which is also not like him.
No, it's not. And so he's just like, okay. He said he walked out and he was so stoked, and then he looked and he was just went, oh, fuck. And so the guy, the lead singer, asked him, like, hey, do you have a place for this tree? Do you promise to update us on this tree? Like, do you agree to the terms? And he was like, yep. And everyone cheered, and all night everyone was like, tree guy. And I drive a compact SUV.
That's the best tree.
This tree was six. My brother's 6'2", and it was taller than him. And we put it in the back of my car, and it took up the entire thing. I laid my seats down, so the bucket was in like the very back. And then we were just driving with leaves surrounding our heads in the front seat.
It's very aesthetic. I was in the driver's seat.
It was. It was super aesthetic. And as we were on the interstate in standstill traffic because they were doing night construction, there was a car next to us that we just started hearing them yell. And we look over and they were like, "Tree guy!" Like 45 minutes away from where the show was.
That's
and
fucking awesome. We were like,
yeah. So we got home and he put the tree in his truck, which we did not take to the show.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, why would you? Why would you take the, you know, not take the, because he has a Tacoma, doesn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we didn't take that, but he got it in and he got it home. And the next day, the day we went to the show, he put an offer in on a house. And the next day, the offer got accepted.
That's some good tree juju right there. He's going to be able to plant that tree out there.
It was very serendipitous. I was like, I'm so glad you got the tree. So he's hopefully going to plant the tree at his new house.
Dude, you have to have him look into these water bag things. My neighbor has them on her trees that she planted, and she never has to water them.
Water bags. I'll tell him to Google that.
Yeah, it's you can't hit him with a mower because my husband did that. He was like, "Hey, I'll," like her husband was gone, and he was like, "Yeah, you need me to mow your yard?" And so he went over there, and then all I just hear is,
"Oh no!"
And he's like, "I broke your water bag," and I was like, "Huh? You broke her water?"
There was a lady that helped us, and shout out to Joni at freaking White River. She was incredible. I loved her. I would be very good friends with her.
You were about to say best friend. And
I know. And
I was like, oh, I'm going to have to end this recording right now and cancel the podcast for life, man. What the fuck?
Fight Joni. No, she was so kind, Tony, and so sweet. And she went and got a hand cart for us to push the tree to my car. And at first, my brother was like, "No, we're good. We're good." And I was like, "No, we'll take the hand cart. Like, you're not carrying this thing. It's huge." And then she waited with it so that I could go get my car so I wouldn't have to walk to the parking garage by myself. She stood there with the tree so my brother could walk with me. And when we got back, she was like, "You know, my mom's a master gardener," and then gave us like a 15-minute how-to on how to take care of trees.
Dude, it was all an all-around awesome. Good night.
It was such a good night. And the show was great. It was so fun. And I had never seen Cake before, but they did an awesome show. They had a giant industrial bubble machines, and there were so many bubbles, and that made me so happy because a bitch loves bubbles. It was party time.
I love when they do bubbles.
Dude, there were so many bubbles and a giant disco ball. It was perfect.
It sounds like the best concert. And people are standing there and not touching you. Dude, sign me up.
And it was only one band. So it was only Cake. They came out, they played for an hour, and then they had an intermission so you could go to the bathroom and get drinks again. And then they came back out and played for another hour.
Dude.
It was very like, it was made for people over 30. 100%. It was an over 30 show. No one else is allowed.
I love that. That's how NSYNC better be if they go on tour.
Right. It was very civilized. Dude, I'm going to sign up for those pre-sale tickets. The NSYNC's about to have Taylor Swift energy. I can feel it.
Uh-huh. I went to the Backstreet Boys and it was like, but I always feel like, look, people are going to come at me, but I'm going to stand by this and I will do this until the day I die. I feel like NSYNC is the Target and Backstreet Boys are the Walmart. It's been like that for years. That's just how
I feel. I am an NSYNC girly. I didn't even listen to that much. I listened to the hits of Backstreet Boys growing up.
Samesies.
In every album, I had it.
Dude, I'm going to go to the concert and Britney Spears' denim outfit. That's what I'm
That's such a great idea. I'll dress as Justin's denim out.
We have any like people who are like promoters? They can get us the low. I don't care if I'm freaking so high up, I'm closer to space than I am the stage. I just got to be there.
Oh, I will be there.
We'll trade Taylor Swift tickets to go see NSYNC.
Because you got a second round of Taylor Swift. I got a
second round of Taylor Swift tickets.
Ayo. You're like, once wasn't enough.
No.
I gotta go
I'm
again.
Also going to see her concert video, like the movie about it. I'm taking...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's because I'm taking my kid. Well, we have a drive-in theater. So I'm going to go see them there, see it there. So one, if the kids get crazy, we can just leave.
You know what I got tickets to? Adam Sandler.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I tried so hard and I looked at the prices and I was like, this ain't there for me.
No, I
when is
I
it?
Got Adam Sandler tickets. It's in November.
Dude.
I know. I'm like low key so excited.
I love Adam Sandler so much.
I'm like, I know it'll be stand up. And I really like Adam Sandler's stand up is fine. I've watched it and the songs are cute. But I just like the original, like Happy Madison movies, like the Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. They're such a important part of my like,
yeah,
I don't know, like youth.
It is.
And growing up.
That was and what a time to be alive. That was prime. Like prime TV watching. I tried talking my husband into me going as Adam Sandler for Halloween. He was like, I don't think.
Who is he going to be?
I didn't give a shit who he was. I was like, I'm going to be Adam Sandler.
He could have been Rob Schneider.
No, he's actually going to be Gru.
Oh, yeah.
Because my daughter's going to be a minion.
That's adorable. What are you going to be?
I don't know yet. My oldest son isn't dressing up because he's too cool for us. My middle son is going as Harry and Lloyd with his best friend.
That's so cute. I love that. I can't wait to see pictures of that also.
I may just pull out. I don't know. They were talking about, I ordered these like vintage Reeboks from Poshmark just on a whim. They were $20 and awesome. And they said Becky on the back. And I really was digging it. So I bought those and I may just do like 90s or 80s theme again, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A classic standard. My oldest is going as Mario and her younger sister is going as Peach. And my oldest best friend is going to be Luigi.
I love
girl that. Versions.
I love that though.
They made it very clear.
Oh, so tutus?
No, just... I bought like denim overalls and like a red polo shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a Mario hat. Like, it's like a cap with the M on it. So just the standard.
Are they going to have a fake mustache?
Look. Yeah, they're going to get mustaches. Well, they have said that they might, but they are have also been like, but we're the girl version, so we don't really need it.
I hope they do mustaches. So
I hope they do too.
Are you going to be Bowser?
No, I'm going to be Toad.
Oh, even better.
Yeah. Yep. I wanted to be Toad. I was like, there's this drummer girl who dresses like Toad and like screams like Toad and plays drums. And she's so funny. And like, it's a little annoying, but I love it. It's hilarious. And ever since I saw her videos, I was like, I'm going to dress up as Toad for Halloween. I've decided.
Man, because it's a month away.
Hmm. Yeah.
Dude. Yikes. Well, on that note. Everybody
enjoy the chill in the air that's coming around. Ooh, it's fall.
I text Meg the other day. I said, this weather has a bitch feeling different.
Get your little pumpkin treats. No one's judging you here. You're allowed to have them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Eat some soup. It is a full meal.
That's what we're gonna be doing.
All right,
we'll talk later.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Gruesome Horrific True Crime.
We love you, beautiful strangers, and if you love us too, here are some ways that you can support Gruesome. Please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast or a 5-star rating on Spotify. This helps other true crime connoisseurs find us. Follow us at Gruesome Podcasts on Instagram or TikTok and talk to us on our posts.
Join the Patreon. Sign up to join our True Crime Sticker of the Month Club and gain access to bonus episodes and exclusive Patreon perks. Or if a one-time donation is more your thing, we have a Venmo at Gruesome Podcast and a PayPal via our email, gruesomepodcast@gmail.com.
Speaking of which, we love hearing from you. It seriously makes our whole life. So send us your questions, comments, suggestions, or just ask our opinion on whether that person you met on Tinder is a serial killer or not.
Tune in next week, and don't forget, lock your windows, lock your doors, and on Wednesdays,
we're gruesome.
Bye.
Bye.